Hopkins for the Arts.
On August 19th, WMNF will be honoring Tampa Bay individuals and organizations who are sowing the seeds of equality and peace and promoting social, economic, and environmental justice. It's our first ever Hometown Heroes celebration. From now until July 15th, you can nominate a person or a group as a hometown hero. Go to WMNF.org for more information and to make a nomination.
I hear talk shows where people actually talk to each other.
Welcome to WMNF Tampa.
Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM, community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session, your forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. They are your employees, you remember. We're joined in the studio again today by Victor Gomez, who has his laptop out and his fingers fully warmed up and is going to exert his most trustworthy efforts to keep us in the road. And we are also joined by Samantha Sam, who is, I was going to do that, but I did it. Anyway, we're joined in the studio by Sam, and she's going to watch us unfold this beast as you and I talk about this executive branch. By the way, in case you are interested, my name's John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. We welcome all viewpoints. Civility is required as we test the proposition that our republic may fare better if, instead of screaming at each other across the street, we talk with each other over the back fence. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. Ms. Jan Simpson will answer your call, and she will want to know what your first name is, where you're calling from, maybe a word or two about what you've got to say here in the session this afternoon. You can also reach the studio at dj@wmnf.org by email or by text at 813-433-0885. Mr. Gomez will be watching the screen for the emails, and so we may actually get a chance to interact with your comments, your email comments on the air. And also be sure and search for Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page. We have going on 500 people who are liking and following the page. I'd like to get to 500 just to see that we can do that. Anyway, if you follow the page, you can discuss the day's White House events there as well. So, the question of the day, are we being invaded and overrun by an infestation of people crossing our southern border? The president has used those words in describing that border and in enacting a policy that has separated thousands of children from their parents. Is he right? We're going to open the session today with a clip from Stephen Colbert last night where he was discussing due process, which the president has described as burdensome.
You know, I get up every day and I live in hope that that'll be the day that I will be surprised by the news. But mostly, I'm just shocked by how unsurprising everything is. The latest wholly predictable comes from the humanitarian crisis on our southern border. First of all, there's still no announcement of what they're going to do to put these stolen kids back together with their parents, and no indication that they could successfully do so. So, 23andMe is donating DNA kits to help reunite immigrant families. Yeah, good for them. Yes, good for them. But while they're at it, can they test Trump's DNA too? Because, just to be sure, I want to find out what species can survive that long without a heart. Because the president is not freeing the children. And I just want to repeat that sentence. The president is not freeing the children. For those of you who just emerged from a coma, you're going to want to slip back in. Because that's the headline. And because of a backlog for asylum requests, these families either separated or together could be imprisoned for a long time. Now, the obvious answer is hire more judges to deal with the backlog. But Trump has a different answer, tweeting, "We cannot allow all of these people to invade our country. When somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back from where they came." Here's the thing. If you deny anyone due process, you deny everyone due process. At that point, we're all undocumented immigrants. Because if you can't show your documents to a judge, your passport is as useless as your Blockbuster card. Being identified as a suspect is the same as being guilty. It's like Trump is saying, "Let me shoot all the bad guys." Well, sir, how do we know who the bad guys are? They're the ones I just shot. Now, I can hear you saying, "Stephen, it's okay. He's just talking about foreigners." Well, hold it right there, imaginary voice in my head. Because the Supreme Court has repeatedly held that the due process requirements of the 5th and 14th Amendments apply to all persons, including those in the U.S. unlawfully. Well, what do you expect from the failing U.S. Constitution? Low-energy founding fathers had terrible ratings. None of them, not many people know this, none of them were born in the United States. I say we ship them back to the 13 colonies. And what justification is Trump offering for getting rid of all these immigrant judges? Well, he suggested last week that he opposed adding judges because many of them could be corrupt. This is another thing we should be surprised by. The president of the United States argues you can't hire any judges because you can't trust them. Wow. They might be corrupt, or even worse, they might not be, and then I'm screwed. So we still don't know when these kids will be reunited with their parents, but we do know that each morning they are required to stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. You can't make migrant children recite the Pledge of Allegiance to a country where they're not welcome. Wow. And Trump's policies are making tempers flare all over the country. Case in point, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Because on Friday night, Hucka Sanders was kicked out of the Red Hen restaurant in Virginia on moral grounds. Now, look, you applaud all you want. Applaud all you want, but my heart really goes out to her. She was separated from her appetizer. She doesn't even know where it is right now. What if it's getting cold? Here's what happened. Hucka Sands went out for dinner with her husband and some friends. The staff recognized her and called the owner, who gathered everyone in the back and allowed employees to vote on whether to boot Huckabee Sanders out of the restaurant. Oh, good. So someone's getting due process. Now, when the owner quietly informed Sanders that she made the staff uncomfortable, Sanders left immediately, and her group even offered to pay for their appetizers. But the owner did not charge Sanders for the food the group had ordered and the cheese plates they had eaten. So, sweet new way for Trump officials to get a free meal. You know you're going to get kicked out eventually, so go hog wild on the app round. Hi, we'll have an order of jalapeno poppers, the hummus plate, the twice-baked potato skins, and a filet mignon as a starter. Oh, you just recognize us? We'll take that to go. But free cheese. But free cheese or no, Sanders wasn't going to let this slide. The next day, from her official White House Twitter account, she quote, "Last night I was told by the owner of Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, to leave because I work for at POTUS, and I politely left. Her actions say far more about her than about me. I always do my best to treat people, including those I disagree with, respectfully, and will continue to do so. For the record, I have always lied to the American people with nothing but respect." I believe everyone should follow their own conscience, and I can understand why some people might celebrate this restaurant owner doing this. But denying service to people you don't agree with is a slippery slope. Because pretty soon, we would just have liberal-only restaurants and conservative-only restaurants. and it'll be a nightmare finding a place where your whole family can eat. Honey, hey, honey, I found a moderate Taco Bell out by the airport we can take your mother to. They promised me the chalupas have no position on import tariffs. But I believe there is a middle road. Restaurant workers, you don't have to kick out Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Just treat her the same way she treats her customers. Only take the order of the two people at the table you like. Then tell Sanders, I'm not going to comment on whether this dish contains peanuts. And then when the food never arrives, just say, I haven't talked to the chef about that yet, so I can't give you any new information. I'll be back at 2:45 tomorrow with a completely different menu that you can't order from.
Little commentary on the president's discourse on due process. We talked about this some yesterday, and if you'd like to comment on it today, you're certainly welcome to do that. What we're going to do right now is we got just a couple of minutes of Steve Rattner from Morning Joe this week, or maybe last week, where he's discussing... He's actually describing charts that are based on data from U.S. Customs and Border Protection and from the Cato Institute, and we're just going to let that talk for itself.
Steve Rattner, go ahead.
So, look, let's try to dissect some of what Trump is saying, because as usual, it's filled with a number of falsehoods, starting with his claim that the number of people crossing the border has exploded. What he's talking about is he's comparing what's happening this year in terms of border apprehensions to what happened last year in 2017. But what he's ignoring is the fact that in three other previous years, the rate of apprehensions was roughly the same as it is now. So if you take out last year as an aberration, there's really no particular change in the number of people trying to cross the border. And in fact, this is also kind of a seasonal high, and generally this declines as the year wears on. So that's sort of lie number one that we can put to rest. The second question is, where does this stand relative to history? And if you go back in history, the number of border crossings in the last several years has been at the lowest level it's been since 1971. If you go back to the year 2000, it was up over 1.6 million. And so it is possible that the number of border crossings could be slightly higher this year than it was last year, but we're bumping along in the bottom for a variety of reasons. The financial crisis caused a lot of people from Mexico to decide the U.S. wasn't actually such a great place to come after all. Things in Mexico, notwithstanding some of what we saw there, but in the broader Mexican economy have gotten better. There are more jobs, more things for people to do. And so, in fact, the number of people trying to cross the border has generally been trending down. Lastly, let's deal with this question of whether the people who come here, as Trump famously said, are rapists, murderers, and carrying drugs, and a few good people, and look at what the record is of immigrants who actually come to the country. Illegal immigrants actually are incarcerated at half the rate of native-born Americans, and legal immigrants are actually incarcerated at an even lower rate than that. And so this whole notion that we're bringing in gang members, we're bringing in people who are going to rape, murder, and pillage our country is simply not borne out by the facts.
So the White House seems to have settled on disorder at the border as its theme for the November midterms. Given what we know about what's really happening there, what do you think of the president's rhetoric describing immigration as an invasion? And do you fear that we'll be overrun by an invasion of people infesting America from the South? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
And we are in session for Tuesday afternoon, joined here in the studio by Victor Gomez, who is going to do his dead level best to keep us between the guardrails. and Sam, who is going to watch us make the sausage as this whole thing unfolds. But right this second, what we're going to do is we're going to go to you, and we're going to start this conversation with Steve in Tampa. Steve, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yes, good afternoon. I'd like to, if I could, go back to a comment that was made yesterday. And I had already called, or I would have called back, because it was. I don't think I've ever heard anything that made me so angry. And what it was is Simon had compared the people, you know, in public being yelled at, shame, shame, shame. He goes, all you have to do is substitute the word Jew, and that's how they were treated in Germany. And, and I'm thinking, these were innocent Jewish people who weren't hurting or bothering anybody, compared to, you know, these conservatives who have caused a great deal of harm to a great deal of the world, you know, so I don't think the comparison is even applicable in any...
Steve, you got some nerve making an accurate observation. I'm telling you, I don't know if we can tolerate that on the air.
I had to call in and point that out, you know, and... You know, to me, that is, like, I think probably the most idiotic statement I have ever heard come out of any conservative's mouth. And believe me, I've heard some idiocy.
Okay. Well, remember, we are going to maintain a level of civility around
here.
So
I've had my say, and I'm out of here, John.
All right, Steve. Listen, thanks for your thanks for kicking it off in this afternoon's session, and we will talk again.
All right, bro.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Jan Simpson, who will answer your call, get you ready to step out onto the floor as she has with Daryl. Good afternoon, Daryl. You are in executive session, but you knew that.
Good afternoon. Well, the first caller kind of took my steam because I wasn't able to get through yesterday. And I wanted to make a comment for Mr. Simon. I hope you're listening in Lakeland. I'm going to be civil about this. And let me just clean up some things. You are, and no, Kelly Ann Conway was wrong, but you are entitled to your own facts. I hope the fact checker in your studio is listening to me.
Oh, he's all over you.
Yes, you are entitled to your own facts. What you are not entitled to is your own truth, because we know that a truth is greater than a fact. Truth. No, we are not being overrun by an influx of illegal aliens at the border. No, Donald Trump made that up. Truth. When it comes to asylum, okay, and I speak this to my nation's shame for all of you people. You're an apologist. You always want to apologize for America. Well, this is the truth, okay? My mind is working and functioning normally now since the lunch has kicked in. Simon, I think you would remember, since you tout yourself as a historian, remember in the late 30s, there was a luxury liner that came from Europe filled with a lot of Jewish people, and no, they were not just professors and teachers. It was called, I believe, the St. Louis. The fact checker that's in your studio, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was called the St. Louis. And I think it came to the United States, and they were turned away. These were people who were trying to escape.
Sam is nodding vigorously. Apparently, you've hit the nail.
Yeah. From Hitler's, the rise of Nazism in Germany and Austria and stuff. But and it was turned away by the United States. I believe they went to Canada. And speak this to Canada, Shane. They turned them away also, too. Went down to Cuba, some people would say, and they were turned away. I speak that to my, because I like Theodore Roosevelt, but there are some things in this nation from century to century to decade that we have done some things, and we will never be able to shake that stink and that stain. And those people were sent back over there. But I just wanted to say that. I'm trying to be very civil.
You're doing a good job. Victor, what did you find?
On May 13th, 1939, more than 900 Jews fled Germany aboard a luxury cruise liner, which was the SS St. Louis, and they hoped to reach Cuba and then travel to the U.S., and they were turned away. And, of course, they eventually ended up going to Canada. They did not make it to the U.S. They were turned away, so that is true.
There you go.
Did you say they did go to Canada, accept them, or they were turned away from Canada?
They were accepted in Canada.
Oh, they were accepted in Canada. Thank you for correct, because I love history, and I love to get it right. Not so much out of pride, but we want to get it right.
Yeah, history is kind of a roadmap, and it's always good if your roadmap is as detailed as possible, and it's also good if the details are accurate.
And let me say this before I go, because I know you got a lot of callers. Some of those pictures of kids in cages and stuff, didn't some of that happen under the Obama?
Yeah, they used it seems to me that at least early on in this whole uprising, that there were some pictures used that turned out to be from the previous administration. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as I hang up, let me say this. The reason why we can't have a space force is because we signed treaties with other nations when we were doing all those nuclear tests during the 50s and the 60s, and we banned supposedly nuclear weapons in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
That's why supposedly we cannot have a space force. Now, most people, if you tend to lean to programs like Ground Zero and Coast to Coast, they think we already have a space force, but it's being done in secret, you know, black ops.
Because, you know, it is so easy to launch something from Earth in secret.
It is.
Oh yeah, you know you can.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can sneak that stuff right off the ground if you're careful. You know.
Yep, you got. I know. Yeah, you got a lot of callers, and let me.
All right, Daryl.
Let me get out the way.
Have a good day, and we'll talk again.
Yeah.
All right, 813-239-9663, and we go now to Dave. Dave, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Hi, John. That was interesting at the top of the show where I think his name is Ratner was quoting some statistics about trends and immigration to the country.
Yeah, he was basically he's a guy that brings a lot of charts onto the morning shows. And, of course, you know how effective charts are on radio. So what we did was we edited his comments, and the data that the charts were built on were from U.S. Customs and U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and from the Cato Institute. So that's where the numbers came from.
Well, it worked on radio, and it's nice to have some actual data on which to base an argument for a change. You know, for these people, either way, there are a lot of people coming here from Central America and Mexico. And it seems to me in all of this that the question of why is not getting adequately covered.
I agree.
And I think, you know, at least a big part of, at least as far as I can tell, a large part of the answer to that question has to do with drug cartels. And organized criminal activity in these countries where these people are coming from. And that isn't being addressed at all in all this. It seems if you want to stop people from coming to this country, then go to the root of the problem. And that doesn't begin at the Mexican border. It begins in Guatemala and Honduras, and these countries where these people are running away from murderous drug gangs.
Yeah. It is really, really hard, as we have demonstrated over and over again in various places around the world, to support the stability of a government in a nation where you have destabilized the previous government.
Right.
Well, and we've done that a lot in Central America.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it seems to me it does take a radical new approach that is going to require international cooperation, and maybe you begin at the United Nations, which never happened under this administration.
Well, there's also the United Nations, and there's also the Organization of American States.
Sure, right.
Which is another alliance, and I think that if we had an executive branch that valued alliances and that wanted to work to use the collective power of an alliance to accomplish something, that we could maybe move that in a more positive direction.
Right. And there's no question that you have to address the question of illegal drugs. And what are we going to do about drug policy? And if you want to take out drug cartels, you have to start with their money, and the money is drugs. You've got to change the law. And that seems to be the... just a red hot rail of American politics, because people on the right just will not accept the fact that legalization is possibly a viable option.
I think if we could get people to look at what they've been doing in the Netherlands and in Portugal,
right.
they have done some, what we would consider, I think, some very radical things, but they appear to be working very nicely.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the media, unfortunately, the media seems to be so focused on Washington and to even get them out of Washington anymore is remarkable. From to go to the Texas border was a change. But, the media really needs to get out. They should go there. They should go to Honduras. They should go to Guatemala. And they should report and bring this to people's attention. I think especially the corporate media is doing it.
I think I have seen some reporting from Central America. I agree. I wish there was a lot more. But our media, for crying out loud, our Congress people can't get into the centers where the children are being detained.
Yeah.
We have limited access to information, but I agree. I would like to see some more detailed reporting, out of Central America that gives us an overview of what's going on there. I'm not conversant on the details, but basically, the general theme, if you want to say that, that I've heard is that it is very, very dangerous there.
No doubt. No doubt. But so are war zones. And, it takes a certain kind of journalist to go do that work. But they seem to be becoming more and more rare. And, press conferences and, the easy stuff seems to be dominating. But
yep.
I'm glad to know you've seen some, so it gives me hope.
All right, Dave. Thanks for calling. And with any luck, we'll talk again.
Thanks.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We're going to step away from the phones for just a minute and bring you some information about what's going on at your station, and also remind you of some of the folks that are also supporting the station with you. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus, a locally owned and operated full-service footwear store featuring Kenco massage sandals. Happy Feet Plus, footwear for a healthier you since 1985. More at happyfeet.com. Show WMNF some summer love by donating your unwanted car to support the station you listen to every day. We'll pick up your vehicle for free at a time that's convenient for you. Less stress and one less vehicle equals a lot more time and room in your garage. Visit WMNF.org to fill out an online donation form or call 888-966-3885 to speak with a representative today. We'll walk you through the process every step of the way. Thank you. All right, back to the conversation initiated today. We were started talking to the president's notion that we're being overrun, that there's an infestation of people and that we're being invaded by I guess by brown hordes from the southern hemisphere, and it's you know, we're just wondering if disorder at the border seems actually like the theme for the midterm elections that the executive branch and I guess the Republican Party is going to play on. So we've been discussing that and some wide-ranging other other subjects, and we're going to talk to Elizabeth. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
All right, thank you, John. I was just ruminating, I guess. That's a good word. Yeah, I was ruminating. and
please do so out loud, Elizabeth.
Oh, I do so all the time. I talk to my kitty cats all the time.
Well, I know.
They are very understanding.
Yes, they
are. The other day, when I cut you off, that was a kitty cat, you know.
I know.
He stepped on the phone. Well, anyway, he back up again. Get away out there. what I am ruminating on right now is something that Victor cannot look on his magic box and find about. But I have to occasionally...
It's a challenge.
Yeah. what did the original inhabitants of this country think when we invaded them? I guess we came here and we asked for asylum. I mean, you know, there were religious reasons and all of those kind of things why the people left Europe. But we don't have any real record of how the Indians took that.
I saw an excellent political and editorial cartoon this morning of the pilgrims standing on the beach with the sailing vessel out in the background, and the Native Americans climbing the bank with the children, with the obviously the pilgrims' children in their hand, you know, and the natives are saying, you know, they didn't, they're illegal, we didn't ask them here, and the pilgrims are saying, but we're seeking asylum, we fled religious persecution, and so there's your, someone else, Elizabeth, was ruminating on the same subject.
You mean the actual natives of this land welcomed us?
Yeah, it seems like they actually, not only did they welcome us, but they actually seemed to become accessories to our invasion up to a certain point.
Well,
you know, they for some reason did not like to see people who had not the foggiest idea of how to survive in a habitat.
Yeah.
Starved to death in the middle of what they knew was absolute plentitude.
Yeah, yeah. They were kind. Oh, well. I guess they did us all a favor. I don't know. Maybe they should have turned us away and said, go home. But that's too late to worry.
Well, I think I'm reasonably sure that on hindsight they probably would have had, that we might have received a different kind of welcome here.
Yeah, but it was too late by then, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's interesting that you characterized our presence on the our growing presence on the continent as an invasion, because it took me a long time to look at what happened, and the reason it interests me is because I kind of reached the same conclusion that basically what we did was invade the continent.
Well, you know, John, that used to be talked about when I was in school back in the last century, you know. Yeah, we invaded this land.
Yeah,
and it was admitted.
Yeah, no. We pretended that there was nobody here. You know,
it wasn't true.
No, it wasn't.
Well, John, we will just muddle through one way or another.
Well, listen. Here's the thing. This is a nation that is founded on the notion of the collective wisdom of the citizenry, which doesn't mean we all agree. It just means that if we all get to vote, that we all get to express ourselves in the political system, that the outcome will be an expression of the collective wisdom of the population.
Yeah.
And we're testing that.
Thank goodness, very soon.
Yep, we're going to test that. And
I will warn you, and Victor, before it gets a little closer to the voting time, I'm going to have some questions that I want Victor to fill me in with the figures on.
He's warming up his fingers and smiling. I think he's up to your challenge, Elizabeth. Listen, you take care of yourself, my dear, and we will talk again.
Thank you, sir.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Do you think we're being invaded from the South? Do you think we're being infested? Do you think it's a good idea to abandon due process? Bob in Tampa, you're in executive session. You have the floor.
Hold on one sec. Sorry about that.
There you go.
John, remember the old adage, paybacks are a bitch?
I have heard that, yeah.
Well, these poor people coming from South America, or Central America, excuse me, it's stuff that our government helped do back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we've screwed up their country so bad that they deserve to come here.
You know that actually reaches back, and I'm not exactly sure what year this is, but there was a time when we sent our military into Central America to safeguard the interests of I believe it was a company called United Fruit.
Yeah, for the banana.
Yeah, and that was, I think, in the mid-50s, and that was that was us. I mean, that those people down there had the nerve to imagine that their land, you know, that they had some say over how their land was used.
It's the same thing with the people in Cuba with the communists took over and took those people's land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something, and it's an issue with the refugee population about how we normalize relationships with them when there are people and families here who still hold title they're here, and I don't know what the titles are worth under the regime in Cuba, but they still hold the titles to land that was taken by the Castro government and. So I don't know how to work that out. I wonder what happened to the titles of the land held by Brits in the 13 colonies when we united the states.
Well, it's really owned by the Native Americans, so we should all be tossed out of here, too.
Well, there's that. What do you got, Vic?
Those alternative facts help us all out. Buddy, real quick, did you happen to watch TCM last night, Turner Classic Movies?
I did not.
There was a movie on, Leslie Howard directed it from 1941, called The 49th Parallel. Watch it.
Yeah, okay. It is, 49th Parallel.
From 1941, a U-boat comes into Canada, sinks the ship, and then the U-boat gets sunk, and six Nazis escape into Canada, and then are running around. Boy, oh boy, history repeats itself.
Uh-huh. All right, listen, Bob, thanks for calling us in, having the discussion. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663. We'll get you into contact with Ms. Jan Simpson, who will get you ready to step out onto the floor, as she has with Patricia in Brandon. Good afternoon, Patricia. You have the floor.
Oh, thank you. Remember, if you don't know your history, you will repeat it again. That's what, I'm not talking about you, but people, you know?
I have found that actually applies to personal histories.
there is a writer, James Q. Whitman,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote this book, The United States and the Making of Nazi Race Law,
mm-hmm.
Princeton, Hitler's American Model,
mm-hmm.
How the Nazis took inspiration from American racism in the late 19th and early 20th centuries.
You know? Uh-huh.
He notes that Hitler praises America as the one state that has made progress towards a primarily racial conception of citizenship, you know?
Yeah, I suppose that's an interpretation that could be supported at that time in American history.
Yeah, and by excluding certain races from becoming citizens.
Yeah, but not to mention women.
Yeah, I've always said that Trump is an inept and corrupt authoritarian who has neo-fascist tendencies. You know, who is he's trying to see how far he can go and how much economic and political power he can get away with.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm curious as to people's, I'm curious when people make those observations. Do you think that he understands that direction, or do you think that it is fundamentally an expression of his personality and his vision for what a president should be and what a leader is?
I think that both, maybe, but that he wants to be like Vladimir Putin, or he wants to be an authoritarian. He wants to be.
He certainly seems to.
And if he can get away with it, he will do that, you know. And he's a pathological liar. He likes to blame. He never takes responsibility for what he does. And that's how he came to power, by lying and blaming brown people and minorities for the economic misfortunes of the white working class.
Well, when you surround yourself with people like Steve Miller and Roger Stone and Steve Bannon, it's hard to imagine that you don't understand that that's what you're doing. You know, because they're Steve Miller's not exactly a subtle guy.
No. And Steve Bannon, even though he's no longer in the administration, he still has a lot of influence at the White House. You know, all these people are white supremacists. So white supremacy is alive and well in the Trump administration.
Okay. So there is a viewpoint for you, ladies and gentlemen, right there. All right, listen, Patricia, we got to go. We got to take another. Take another quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to finish the conversation. And you and we will talk again. Sure enough. All right. Again, we are going to step away from the conversation briefly, and we'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill Industries Suncoast, committed to helping people achieve their full potential through employment services, training, and affordable housing. The sale of donated items at Goodwill stores supports services to people locally and contributes to community conservation. More at goodwill-suncoast.org.
Hi, this is Larnell Scott with a WMNF community announcement. Superheroes are fun to watch at the movies. However, there are almost 1,000 abused and neglected children in Pasco and Pinellas counties waiting for real-life superheroes to volunteer as guardians ad litem and become their voices. These precious children need volunteers to help them find safe, permanent homes. Guardian ad litem volunteers become superheroes to our community's children. You may learn more at herotoachild.org.
Thanks to all who donated during WMNF's summer drive. We're happy to report we've gone over our goal. We couldn't do it without you. If you have any questions, call Gene Moore at 813-238-8001. And back to the phones we go for the final round of our discussion this afternoon. And we're going to go and talk to Frank in Sarasota. Frank, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Thanks. I just had a couple quick points if I could make them. First of all, when I heard Donald Trump saying these people are invading our country, they're coming across the Mexican border and invading our country, and the first thing I thought was, we invaded theirs.
Oh, picky.
Yeah, right. And I think what happened, you know, my history, and Victor can look this up, that I think it was Andrew Jackson, offered to buy the states from all the way from Texas to California, which was in part of Mexico. Mm-hmm. He offered to buy that land, and they said Mexico said no, so he just went over there and took it.
Yeah, well, a little early exercise of eminent domain.
Yeah, right. We'll just take these four states and, you know, make
yeah, that's a...
yeah, right. Went all the way up to Oregon. Anyhow, and the next thing was if I could comment, I have two other things, actually. If I could comment on the whole etiquette thing that's going on in Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost, you know, I had a discussion with my wife, which I lost. we're not going to get a divorce over anything like that. But, you know, she thought these people should be, you know, considered, you know, as private citizens, we may go out for dinner and, you know, and I'd be harassed and all that sort of thing, you know. And I was just pointing out, you know, you can't be exhibiting this kind of behavior on a daily basis and not expect you to for somebody to confront you on it.
Yeah.
And if the whole front of the house is you know, gay people or whatever, LGBT people, and they're uncomfortable with Sarah Sanders in there, and the whole back of the house there is, you know, Hispanic people, you know, I can't really fault the woman for, you know, saying, would you mind, you know, well, not disrupting the business here for tonight?
Yeah, there was a distinction that I was wrestling with that same thing. And you know, I think people have a right to privacy. I think that people have a right. I think people, even in public life, have a right to go out and have a private life. And when you are in charge and what you're in charge of is essentially a humanitarian crime, I am not sure that that firewall I'm not sure that firewall holds up all that well. I think there, and I'm not sure about that. Believe me, this is something that I'm still looking at. But these guys are doing something that is, this is humanitarian criminality.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Let me just say,
go ahead.
Finish up. Oh, well, I was going to say that as a guy who grew up around D.C., I went to high school there, you know, before I set out for parts unknown in college and all that sort of thing. Went to Wilson High School there, and my father worked for the government, so I was in D.C. for a long time. And those people are public figures, and you cannot go to a place without seeing some sort of public figure there. And they harassed John Boehner every morning at breakfast because they knew where he was going to eat breakfast. And, you know, they all the way back to Herbert Hoover, I can remember, because I'm old, you know. Not Herbert Hoover, I'm sorry, Harry Truman. Walking down the street, you know, and them calling him Harry S. for nothing. Hey, Harry S. for nothing, you know.
And
I'm not as old as Hoover, by the way. Anyhow, this has been going on for a long time, especially around D.C. and its environs. So you can't go out there and expect to be, you know, perfectly private citizen when you conduct yourself in such a fashion.
Yeah. I was also struck by the incredible tone deafness of Kirstjen Nielsen showing up at a Mexican restaurant on that particular night.
Right.
I thought
making those horrible comments.
You know, I mean, oh my goodness, really? So anyway, listen. Thank you very much for your succinct and precise comments. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 as we wander up to the threshold of the lightning round. We're going to go over here and talk to Dan. Dan, listen, thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. You're in executive session this afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Hey, earlier on Rob's show, some gentleman called in about the Harley Davidson thing.
Yeah.
So damn misinformed, it's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Harley is closing the plant down in Kansas City and moving it over to Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that so they don't have $2,200 worth of tariffs put on their motorcycles because they can import them from Thailand to Europe tariff-free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So when people call in and they're so misinformed because they watch, oh, it's all over the news. No, it's not all over the news kind of thing. Now, John, when I think about the, I would like some civility, you know, within society and when people go out to eat and such, but we have to remember the Supreme Court opened this bag of worms up here. When they said that cake maker did not have to make a cake for a gay couple, I think
because of what was the phrase? An authentically held or a sincerely held religious belief?
Belief.
Yeah.
So if you have a belief, I guess, that this person is morally hateful and so many other things.
What if you have a sincere religious belief against serving someone who's participating in a humanitarian crime?
And you can make up a religion, I guess, because I'm, for God's sake.
You don't have to go far to make up a religious reason against humanitarian crime, I don't think.
Well, you just got to go to Clearwater Scientology. You
know, now.
Alien to come down or whatever. But just having said all that, you know, I don't know why people here are so afraid of the border down there. We don't have enough people here now to do the things we need to do.
They're afraid because they have been, because what's going on down there has been misrepresented, Dan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, then they talk about sanctuary cities and all that. It's hogwash, man. Pasco, Pinellas, and Hillsborough counties are what you call sanctuary counties. Mm-hmm. You can go out to any job site, John, and every one of those gentlemen there working are Central American or Mexican.
Bob, I drove concrete mixers for 3 years. I have seen the circumstance about which you are speaking.
Oh, I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know
my family
you do.
Was in that business for years. So I know exactly what you're speaking to there. But they don't do anything about it. They just run their mouths about it. And one other thing. I'm a vet. You're a vet. I want a vet to call up this station and tell me why they voted for a man that took 5 deferments from the Vietnam War.
Mm. It's a good question.
And then called every POW a loser because he said John McCain was a loser for getting shot down, basically.
Yeah, he was a loser because he got captured.
Right.
Yeah.
So that means every POW in turn. So I want a veteran to tell me why he voted for a man that took 5 deferments and then cast it and goes after, you know, his other POWs. Like that.
Okay, there it is. There it is. There's a request for participation from Dan down there in Tampa. And if you'd care to participate and respond to that particular question, you can reach us at 813-239-9663. Although we are in the very heart of the lightning round here this afternoon, and we are running up toward the very top of what is inevitably the fastest hour in radio, and we're going to talk to Ken in Tampa. Good afternoon, Ken.
Good afternoon. I'll be brief. I appreciate your show, and thank God we have the Constitution of the United States.
Ain't it?
Because the Constitution is what protects us from tyrants. Whether you like a president or not, or whether you like a Congress or not, although Congress is probably worse than the president these days, you know, the Constitution of the United States protects us all as Americans, so
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I do want to comment quickly on the border situation. What is the alternative? There are 700,000 backlog cases now,
yes,
of immigrants that they can't get to. If more came in, if we just said, okay, you know what, no wall, open border, how many people could we take in? And, you know, we're a nation of 350 million people.
Yeah, 325 right now.
Okay, in a world of near 9 billion.
Yeah.
Okay, which a great majority of them are persecuted.
Mm.
So if they're all trying to come to America for freedom, you know, we stop becoming America.
No, we wouldn't.
We have to.
No, we wouldn't. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, Ken. We wouldn't stop being America because of the very document you cited in your very first remarks. The United States is not a population. The United States is the Constitution. And it doesn't matter what language is spoken. It doesn't matter what group of people it is or how many groups of people it is. If you live the Constitution, you are the United States of America.
Okay, I agree. But how many people can we absorb into a location within the United States? Maybe we need to export to South America.
We've attempted export and found out that the Constitution does not export at the muzzle of a firearm very well. So we've had to alter our methods. But I don't know. You've raised a very good question. And the difference at this point is that there was a time at the beginning of the last decade when we were taking in a million some people a year across that border, and we somehow dealt with that. So it's a, you know, what you're asking is a good question, and it is, I think, one of the fundamental issues we have to work out. How are we going to handle this?
Well, that's my statement, and so you can't, you know, blame everybody for the decisions they're making to help protect what we have here. And it's unfortunate. I feel bad for the immigrants that are trying to get here. But a line has to be drawn at some point.
All right, Richard. Listen, Ken, sorry. Thank you. We got to go. The time wall is running up, and it's inflexible, and we will talk again. Richard, we're not going to get to talk to you this afternoon because right this very minute, it's time to hand you off to It's the Music, which is going to take you through the afternoon. And we're not even going to do a bunch of really neat music this afternoon. We're just going to kind of blather on for the next few seconds, and then we're going to tell you this is WMNF Tampa.